Thank you all for being here to worship with us at West End United Methodist Church. Merry Christmas. It's not just a day, it's a season. Again, good morning and welcome to worship here at West End. We're pleased that you've joined us, especially if you're here as a member of a family, you live far away, you're visiting with family, and you're here for this one Sunday. Welcome. Perhaps you're a visitor who has just begun attending here. Welcome. We are delighted that you are all here, and we are going to try, those of us who are regular here, to meet some folks we don't know. So if you ever get a chance to come back, if you live nearby or far away, please know we're delighted that you're here whenever you can come. There are lots of ways to get involved in a congregation. You already know that, but you may not know the particular ways to get involved in this congregation, and that is by getting involved in what God is doing in and through the congregation. You'll find a couple of bulletin inserts to help tell you that, but I'm going to lift up a few things. First of all, we have our New Year's Eve Today service. It is on New Year's Eve, as you might guess, the 31st at 6:30 p.m. in our four-story theater, and it will gather around the labyrinth. If you have had a busy and noisy holiday season, this is just the service for you. It's a time of prayer. It's a time of silence. It's a time of singing, of recollecting the fragments of oneself. So let me invite you to come on New Year's Eve at 6:30 and begin your observance of welcoming a new calendar year in our theater around the Labyrinth. And then the Epiphany Party Potluck Pilgrimage, which you can read about in this. Epiphany falls on Wednesday, January 6th. It always falls on January 6th, but Wednesday this year. And so our Wednesday evening gathering will be a potluck. You can see what to bring from the insert, and we hope you'll join us. Your gift that's mentioned in here is the food that you bring. No additional gifts required, okay? And finally, as with every church I have ever served over 40-plus years, we always get the bulk of our income at the end of the year, often just in December, or the last 2 weeks in December, or the last week in December. So I've been asked to remind you there are lots of ways to give. You can log on to westendumc.org/give to make a contribution online. You can, of course, put your gift in the offering plate, or you can put it in the mail. If it's delivered by hand or postmarked before December 31st, it will count as a contribution in 2015 on your tax return. The church office will be open till 4:30 on Thursday, December 31st, if you wish to bring that by in person. And also, I was asked to remind you, all this is highly religious stuff, because what you do with your money says a lot about what you do with your faith. Think about it. You can give the church appreciated securities. And if you choose to do that, it helps you out at tax time, but it also helps your church. Just a friendly reminder from the folks who want to keep these ministries going at West End United Methodist Church. Well, for a lot of people, Christmas is over, right? It ended with wrapping paper all over the floor and presents that weren't broken quite yet, or returned, or regifted. But for us as Christians, Christmas is not over. This is the first Sunday of Christmas, and it is a season, and it does last for 12 days until Epiphany, when we remember that there were people from a foreign land, scholars, perhaps astrologers, who came to find the one they thought, from all of the predictions they had read, would issue in the age of God's peace. You know what? We still believe that.
Praise the Lord, all the earth, from the highest heights to the deepest deeps.
Let everything sing and shout praise to the Creator.
Praise the Lord, all the heavens and starry host.
All throughout the universe, may praise to God abound.
Come, let us joyfully praise God.
Let us sing our praise.
Trusting in God's grace, let us confess our sin. God of wonder, you surround us with signs of your glory and surprise us with your presence. Yet we often miss the marvels you place before us. Forgive our dullness and make us alert to the ways you make yourself known, that we might be witnesses to your good news and proclaim your extravagant love through Jesus Christ, our Savior. People of God, feel the presence of God right now in this place, warming your hearts, forgiving your fears and strife, preparing you for joyful service. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are beloved and forgiven. Amen. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, John Stratum Orr Jr. and Melissa Rabham Orr bring their daughter, Callie Lucille Orr, and are joined by Brother Jack. And Mark Francis Morrell and Catherine Sandlin Morrell bring their son, Beckham James Morrell, joined by their brother Camden, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Mark and Catherine, Missy and John, I ask you, on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, say, I do. Will you nurture your children in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, profess their faith openly, and lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will. Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround them with a community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their service to others. We will pray for them, that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Now pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and these persons who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen.
What name is given this child? Callie Lucille. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Callie Lucille, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay, Becca, buddy, come to me, huh? Come to me. Who looks like Santa Claus, huh? What name is given this child? Beckham James, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born by water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen. Now you can go back to Dad. Yeah. There you go. There.
Will the congregation please stand and face these persons? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister and brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Callie, Lucille, and Beckham James to your loving care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you. We welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you, the body of Christ, and this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to faithfully participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And everything God may glorify through Jesus Christ.
Please join with me in the prayer for illumination. As we come to hear the scriptures today, O Lord, stir up our hearts, that we may welcome your incarnate Son. By his coming, give us strength in our comforts, and align our path, so that we may walk the way that leads to eternal life through Christ. Oh, amen. A lesson from the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in a group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their brothers and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why are you searching for me? Did you not know that must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and divine and human favor. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
If other children, you may be seated, if other children would love to come and sit with us, that's fine. If you want to bring a parent or grandparent or a friend, that's okay too. Just come on down. While they're coming, I'll tell you that it's the custom on the Sunday after Christmas for me to do something a little different. There is no sermon per se, but there is a children's time, since we're all children of God. And while I ordinarily tell stories, on the Sunday after Christmas, I write a story to be read. And the story I wrote today, for all of you, especially for you, is based on the scripture you just heard read from the Gospel of Luke by John Nance. It's imagining what it might have been like to be Mary and Joseph, knowing that they had left a big city and left their son Jesus behind. It's called Lost and Found. Where in the world is that boy? He was with us when we left Jerusalem, wasn't he? Mary sounded worried. Oh, he's somewhere around here, probably with one of his cousins. He'll show up eventually. Joseph didn't seem worried at all. Just look around a bit and make sure he's somewhere around here. The tone of Mary's voice told Joseph that her words were not a request. They were a command. So Joseph began asking around whether anyone had seen Jesus recently. Some thought they had. Some said they definitely hadn't. And others just couldn't remember. I'm sure that he's here somewhere, they all said, echoing what Joseph had told Mary. There are so many children running around. How can you tell which one is which? One older gentleman said. After searching for almost an hour, Joseph was beginning to get worried. He didn't want to have to return and tell Mary not only that he couldn't find their son, but that he had no idea where he was. At last, though, that was all he could do. What do you mean you couldn't find him? He left Jerusalem with us, didn't he? He's a boy. He's all over the place. You're supposed to keep up with him. Mary's voice was strained and sounded harsh. But Joseph knew that she sounded that way because she was afraid. She was angry because she was afraid. By now, it was almost time to eat the evening meal. They had traveled a full day from Jerusalem, and Jesus was still nowhere to be found. There was only one answer. He had been left behind in their rush to leave the city. Jerusalem was a big city, and there was lots of terrible trouble that a boy could get into. Every single frightening possibility ran through Mary's mind. Since they were afraid to travel at night, Mary and Joseph waited till daybreak to begin their journey back to Jerusalem. Believe me, they didn't sleep at all. They waited for the sunrise like people whose lives depended on it. No, that's not quite right. They waited like people whose child's life depended on it. As soon as it was light enough for them to see, to place one foot in front of another, they began their journey. A number of the family members with whom they were traveling offered to return with them, but they turned down each and every one. They felt that since they were the ones who had forgotten to check and make sure Jesus was with the group before they left, they were the ones who needed to find him. When they left, and all along the return trip, Mary and Joseph were in a hurry. It still took them all day to make it back to Jerusalem after they discovered that Jesus wasn't with them. It was so late that they couldn't get started looking until the next morning. They slept outside the city in a grove of trees until daylight, but just as the night before, they didn't sleep much. "Where shall we begin?" Joseph asked the next morning. "Where are you absolutely sure you saw him last?" Mary's voice was tired and tense. "I think it was as we were leaving the temple, but I can't remember exactly." Joseph sounded cautious and unsure. "I know," Mary's voice was still tight. "Neither can I. That's what worries me." "Well, shall we just begin at the temple? Wouldn't that make the most sense?" "We will begin as soon as we enter the city. Then we will ask everyone we see as we make our way toward the temple." Mary was taking no chances on missing someone who might have seen her son. They arrived in the city, and true to her word, Mary began asking everyone she met if they had seen Jesus. She held her hand out to show how tall he was. "He's about 12, dark hair, dark eyes, about this tall," she told everyone who would listen to her. "Sounds like every 12-year-old boy I've ever seen," was the answer. And he's really smart. Mary hoped that adding this would help. You're his mother, aren't you? Of course, why? Every mother thinks her child is the smartest. I'm so sorry. I've seen lots of boys who look just like that, but I really can't tell one from another. Mary and Joseph searched the streets of Jerusalem all day until the darkness of the approaching evening made it difficult to distinguish faces. By that time, they had made their way to the area near the temple. They were breathing hard and their hearts were beating fast from the fear and anxiety, as well as the exertion and exercise. They leaned against a wall to rest for a moment. Where would they look next as the approaching darkness made it more and more difficult, almost impossible to hold on to any hope of finding their son? Where will we spend the night tonight? Mary asked. I hadn't thought of that, Joseph answered. I was just so worried. What if we never find him? Mary asked the question that had been troubling both their minds, but neither had spoken until now. Her voice had lost its anger and was just filled with worry. Don't even think that, Joseph sounded confident, but his confidence rang hollow. We're bound to find him sooner or later. We'll just keep looking until we do. About that time, as both fell silent, they heard a voice. It was a child's voice. It was faint, so much so that they might have missed it, but it sounded very familiar. Then they heard the voices of old men. Then the voice of the child again. The second time they heard it, both Mary and Joseph were sure who that young voice belonged to. It was Jesus. Listening carefully to hear which direction the conversation between the young man and the older man was coming from, they followed the sound of their son's voice. As they approached one door in particular, the voice became louder and more distinct. They began to make out words and then phrases. Then they looked across a courtyard into a room filled with men, most of them older with long beards going gray or altogether white. They still couldn't see the source of the voice they had followed, but it was unmistakable now. It was their son's voice. Mary pushed her way through the crowd of old men and didn't stop until she was in the room from which Jesus' voice had come. It didn't matter to her in the least that the room was filled with scholars, with men who would object to her presence there because she was a woman. She had found her son. That was all that mattered to her. "Who are you and what are you doing here?" one of the scholars asked. "I'm his mother," Mary told them, pointing to Jesus. "Why are you holding my son captive here?" All of Mary's worry and fear was gone, now that she knew her son was safe. But her anger returned. "Oh, you are mistaken, woman," the scholar replied. "He's the one who's been holding us captive by his brilliance and the depth of his understanding of Torah." "Well, the lessons are over," Mary sounded fierce. "You come with us, young man. What were you thinking? Didn't you know your father and I would be worried sick?" You've never heard a tone of voice like that, have you? No, I didn't think so. Jesus looked at his mother as if he had been completely confused by the question. "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know I'd be in my father's house?" "Well, that's where you're going right now, back to your father's house." It was as if Mary hadn't even heard what her son had said. Or perhaps she thought he was just developing a smart mouth and was choosing to ignore the comment so as not to encourage him. "And when we get there, you will be confined to the house until you're 30. Jesus was smart enough not to say anything else, except to tell the scholars a respectful goodbye and to follow his mother and father out the door and home. Mary would think about this incident many times in the coming years. In fact, while he wasn't confined to the house all that time, Jesus didn't actually leave home to go out into the world until he was about 30 years old. Even then, Mary felt the old fear rising in her heart, a fear that she would one day lose him for good. It is a fear she shares with all parents before and since. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us stories of Jesus, who was your love with us, continues to be your love with us, teaching us how to love others, who knows what it's like to be us, who gets in trouble as a boy, who learns, who teaches, who for us is our greatest teacher. Thank you, especially this holy season, for the birth of your love into the world in Jesus the Christ. Amen. Thank you all for coming down so very much. Well, we read stories from Scripture, and we tell stories in our own way, and we tell stories using ancient words. So I invite you to stand as you're able, turn to number 883 in your hymnal, and we will tell our story with words borrowed from the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world.
We live in God, who has created and just created, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, who reconciled and made new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God, who we are called to be in the church, to celebrate God's presence, the love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our Lord, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. We hope you will join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following our worship service. First-time guests who are worshiping with us today are invited to join the congregation for coffee and fellowship. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. On one side of the card, you may record any comments you have for church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a call from one of the staff persons regarding your comment, please indicate that on the card and include your contact information. On the other side of the card is a place for prayer requests. Please indicate if these prayer requests are to be shared or are to be kept confidential among the pastoral staff. The card can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pews in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad you find near the center aisle down the pew if you have not already done so. And as the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, please take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of our service. Prepare our hearts and minds to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. As children of God and heirs of the promise, let us pray to the Lord, saying, loving God, hear our prayer. For the Holy Church of God, that all who have been baptized into Christ may shine like the dawn, bear witness to the good news of Jesus, and light the way of salvation in Jesus' name, let us pray to the Lord, loving God, hear our prayer. For the nations of the earth, that government and those in authority may protect the vulnerable, shelter the oppressed, and pursue the way of peace, let us pray to the Lord. Loving God, hear our prayer. For this city, Nashville, and the surrounding cities, and for all places of human interaction and livelihood, that kindness may abound, compassion prevail, and harmony endure. Let us pray to the Lord. Loving God, hear our prayer. For the planet Earth, our home, that we may honor her gifts, respect her limitations, and protect her resources, let us pray to the Lord. Loving God, hear our prayer. For those troubled with illness, hardship, or conflict, that they may receive healing for their bodies, release from their burdens, and mending of their brokenness, let us pray to the Lord. Loving God, hear our prayer. Hear us, O God, for our eyes have seen your salvation. Let your light shine through us and fill the world with the radiance of your love revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord, as we pray in one voice the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. With thankful hearts, let us offer ourselves and our financial gifts to God.
quick reminder, church offices will be closed on Friday in observance of the New Year's holiday. And now, go forth in love and mercy and grace and peace to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this holy season and always.